Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by Content Snare. Content Snare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. Content Snare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at contentsnare.com. Hello and welcome back to Agency Highway. Today we are speaking with Riker Taylor, who I met on LinkedIn of all places. He was one of the early backers of Content Snare. So, you know, I've always got a little special place in my heart for the people that jumped on our pre-sale and made it so we could actually make Content Snare a thing. But then, yeah, we got to know each other on LinkedIn and decided he should come on the podcast. So thank you for joining me, Riker.
Thank you for having me, man.
So what we're going to talk about today is branding. So basically why it's important to have a brand for your agency and how to build a brand that actually scales. So Riker, I'll hand over to you because I'll just completely butcher your introduction. So tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Riker Taylor. I started a digital marketing agency almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago in April. Nice. And the name of it is Wonder Tree. It's kind of a weird name. we get a lot of skeptics are like, what the heck is that name supposed to be? And it's got a funky spelling, but it's actually brought us some business just kind of as just being a weird name like it is.
And it's so awesome. That like it's almost like a talking point, right? And it just made me think like that's branding in itself.
Yes. I was just about to say.
Because my emails go out and I'm wearing like a stupid Christmas suit in a lot of my emails, like my signature, and that is like an easy way for people to open a conversation, like on, especially on cold emails and stuff, because like my branding is pretty much like I'm a dickhead.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And you're probably going to tell me whether that's a good or a bad thing shortly. Yes.
I have a feeling that your brand and our brand are going to be pretty similar in the way that they operate. So we're kind of the same way, but yeah, so we started a little over or almost 3 years ago. It started out just me. I had been doing real estate before that, and then I was the youngest guy by like 30 years in my office. Usually, like most realtors are like 50, and I was 19 when I started. So people always saw me as the social media guy. So I figured, you know what? whenever my license renews, I should just let it roll and expire, and I should just go start my own agency and go back to these same people that always wanted me to work for free and try to sell them something. So That's what I did, and you know, so far it's been good. It's grown. I hired my first full-time employee last year, and then we're entering this year with the most leads we've ever had, most business we've got, and the biggest stuff in the pipeline we've ever had. So a lot of optimism and hoping we can continue to grow the team, more this year. But yeah, that's a little bit about us. And,
yeah, nice. Well, congratulations, because January is normally like a pretty slow month for a lot of people.
Yes. I found, so this will be my third January doing this, and that's actually typically one of the best months we have.
Wow.
So, yeah. Actually, believe it or not, April or March and April are usually our slowest times.
Yeah.
So right. I don't understand it, but.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a country-based thing too, like maybe slightly. You know, typically June's quite hectic for Australian businesses because that's the end of our financial year and everyone's trying to get their like last minute things in to claim it on tax or whatever, you know, reduce their tax. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about building a brand. And the first important part, I think, is why you'd build a brand. Like convince me that I need a brand, I guess, for my agency.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I'm gonna butcher this a little bit because I don't have the facts sitting right in front of me. That's just how I roll. But there was a study. Everybody knows who Coca-Cola is and everybody knows who Pepsi is. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, like way back in the day, there was a study done where people would drink Pepsi. Pepsi's the one that hosted it. And they put Coke and Pepsi next to each other and they told people which one was which. And, or sorry, they didn't tell people which was which. It was a blind taste test. And they just had people vote on which one tasted better. And objectively, everybody, the majority picked Pepsi. Well, then years later, and hundreds and millions of dollars spent on Coca-Cola's part in their branding, a study was conducted where the participants knew which one was which. So they, when they did that one, Coca-Cola won in a landslide. So when you look back at it, product-wise, Pepsi back in the day was objectively better when nobody, when it was just straight, you know, side-by-side product, no names were involved, Pepsi won. But then later down the road, you know, when people knew, they could associate the Coca-Cola brand with being there when they were little or they just saw the commercials growing up or whatever. But that just kind of overwhelmingly states that brand can be a superior product.
Oh, yeah. And you see examples of that all the time. This is going to be a very unpopular thing for me to say, but I feel like Apple has got that at the moment, you know,
yes.
Like,
oh, yes.
Because especially now, like I've seen more people changing away from Apple right now than I ever have. Mm-hmm. So many complaints that I'm seeing from like my friends and, you know, people in the web space complaining on social media about things breaking and stuff. But you still see these like diehard Apple fans that are just like, mm-hmm. I've never had a problem, whatever, like your classic anecdotal evidence that it's they're an amazing brand. But you know, these people are going to continue to buy Apple products and throw money at them, even though I really do believe it's an inferior product.
Yes,
and always have, pretty much. But
yes.
And I know this is almost not related, but it's kind of along the same topic. A lot about how we taste eggs. If we decide an egg tastes better or not, has pretty much everything to do with the color of the egg.
Yes,
so a look, a more orangey color convinces mm-hmm. us that it tastes better, even when it's exactly the same.
And yes,
tests where they like dyed all the eggs green to prove it. This is in a food science book that I read, but it's just like, I guess that's kind of like branding, right?
Yes, right. Well, yeah, I think it's because you know the emotional part of your brain, I think, kicks in more before the rational part of your brain. So just going back to the Coke Pepsi thing, you know, a lot of people in that second test had associated good memories and like maybe memories of home or just growing up or whatever, better days. They associated that with Coca-Cola because that's what Coke has spent millions of dollars trying to invoke, is that feeling of like hominess. So I think, you know, that emotional feeling strikes before the rational, like, oh, this product actually isn't as good, you know?
Yeah.
So
obviously we're not Coke and Pepsi and we don't have even close to that kind of budget. So how does branding then apply to a smaller, you know, agency that doesn't have this kind of budget?
Yes. I love you for asking that question. That is awesome. So a lot of people think I run into business owners all the time and even other agency owners all the time that think a brand is simply just a logo. And that could not be further from the further from the truth. Branding starts at, you know, from the first hello. It's the way you carry yourself. Just like you said, when you send out emails wearing the Christmas suit, it's that. It's like, it's everything. And so if you're a small business, a small agency, and us as well, this, I'm practicing what I'm preaching, or at least I try to. You know, we just try to focus on the little things because we don't have the hundreds of millions of dollars. So instead, it's us identifying, okay, who are we as a, you know, an individual company? Like, what is our identity? And then who are we trying to target? Like, what's our target audience? And how should we speak to them every time they see us, from every text message, email, phone call? You know, that's all branding. Like, people tell us all the time that they love us for answering our phones. Like, we've made it a point to answer our phones every time somebody calls. Or if we can't, you know, we try to get back within like an hour. And that's like a branding thing. Most people don't think about that being a branding thing. But we've established that as a precedence. We've set that precedence. And now our clients, we hear it all the time. Like, you know, crap might be hitting the fan, you know, on so many levels, but they still love us because we actually answer the phones. And so that's like, they just have that feeling of trustworthiness.
That's awesome. I like that.
when you lack money, you've got to be creative and you've got to focus on the little things like answering your phone, or what is a funny picture that you attach to your email, or do you have a funky name, or, you know, there's a bunch of different things, a bunch of different little small ways you can brand yourself. But to me, that would be my answer to that question.
Yeah, nice. And I think communication is massive too, right? Yes. I saw someone, like a pretty prominent person the other day. It was like, ways you should reach me ordered by my preference. And it was like chat, email, something like dot, 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 smoke signals, carrier pigeon, call yes. me. Call me was like the last one.
The last one. Yes.
And I was like, that is how a lot of people act now. So, and yes. there are plenty of people out there that really want to jump on the phone. And so if they do have a way to make that part of your brand, that's pretty cool. Like ours used to be similar when we were doing websites, and it was, we respond to emails, right? Like we respond yes. to emails, we finish the job and we don't suck.
Yes.
That was our three sort of,
yes, exactly.
And that was like the main headline on our website, and that sort of carried into networking events and all that sort of stuff. Yes. Now that you're talking about this, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess we kind of had a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good thing to have. And you know, that's, you know, as trivial as that is, that's something that a lot of people don't do, is answer their phone or do work that doesn't suck or
yeah.
finish the job. So the fact that you're out there doing that and promoting that in and of itself just gives you an edge, I think. So,
yeah. All right. So I guess, how do we start building a brand? Like if we're just new at this, or, you know, I guess even if we're an established agency that don't have a brand and want to actually sure. start creating one, where do we start?
Sure. Well, I'll preface this with this. I don't know that you'll ever fully know who you are. I think personally, just fundamentally, I believe that we're always, you know, changing as a company, and like change is good. And we have the kind of the running joke at our company, we'll show up every day, or there for a while, we're showing up every day and looking at each other, me and my other full-time employee, and saying, so what company are we going to be today? Are we going to still do digital marketing? Are we going to be dry cleaning and stuff? All in fun. But it was because we were kind of constantly trying to pivot and really learn. So I think for us, we've really just now, over the last probably 6 months, begun to get extreme clarity on who we are. There for a while, it was a lot of trial and error. So I think for building your brand, if you're just getting started, my advice would be go out and try something. You know, look at who you are as a person. You know, if you're an agency owner and it's just yourself, like it was for me a while, then your brand is going to be mostly you as a person. Then as you add more and more people, then those personalities, their personalities will kind of add to that as well. And the company will begin to take on a personality of its own. But for me, and for me and Matt, my employee, when we were looking at it, we were looking at ourselves, like how we as individuals, we're kind of cocky and we're very cocky, or can be very cocky, especially me. Or we can be, you know, really just gestury and just having fun all the time. And so that was kind of like our running point, was just evaluating who we were. And then we looked at how do we do things on the day-to-day when we're not thinking about our brand? Like, how do we just naturally interact with everybody? So it took us going back and retroactively looking at the way we dealt with people and the types of content that we gravitated towards posting on social media, or how our website was. Like, we're on like our fifth version of the website since, wow, I started like 2 years ago. And so, you know, we're always updating. It's been the way it's been now for like the last 8 months, which is kind of a landmark for us because we were changing it all the time there for a while. But it had to do with us looking back and seeing, you know, who we were as people and the kind of content that we gravitated towards. So,
and kind of staying true to who you are in a way.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, when it's just you running the company, then it's definitely going to be a lot of your personality is what that company is going to be.
Yeah. I think a lot of people try to be something they're not in their marketing, I guess. Like, for example, me, like I, at some point I thought I had to wear like a suit, not wear like a suit, but so I had actually joined this, this business club, and it was pretty much like you have to wear suits to every single one of their events. And, you know, I figured that by going to that, I would,
find some bigger clients, because it was known for that, you know, like some, there's some sure. really like very important businesses there and stuff. And I very quickly realized that it was so far from my standard way of operating that it was all just fake and bullshit anyway. So I had to drop out.
Yeah.
So I guess we should probably kick on to the some ways to get started. I can't even remember what we're up to. So we talked about a framework offline earlier, CUE, about just building your brand. So let's get into that.
Yes, sir. Let me fire up the talking points here. So so CUE is clarity. It stands for clarity, unity, and elimination. So what we mean by talking about that is, first you have to start with clarity, kind of like I was saying earlier, kind of figuring out who you are as a person and then as a business. Once you've kind of achieved that, okay, this is who we are, this is where we're going. Then the next step is the U, so unity, getting everybody on your team on the same page, getting your operations and your image kind of planned out around that newfound clarity. And
then I imagine that would be pretty difficult, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause you were saying before, as an agency grows, everyone's kind of got their individuality that they're all going to bring to this brand. But at some point, you're going to want to have everyone sort of communicating as one, right? Like you don't want everyone to be different. So how do you think you should manage that?
Yes. So, one of the ways to do that will be, figuring out your brand archetype, which I think we'll get to talking about here in a minute.
Yeah, for sure.
And then as well as the brand guidelines, like establishing a compass for your brand. I think that for us, that was the way that Matt and I got on the same page and kind of got our image on the same page, was we finally, once we had the clarity of who we were and where we were going, we then just came up with a plan and put, it was pretty much taking that clarity and putting a plan to it. So that it was difficult. That I think for us, clarity was probably the hardest step. It was like finally realizing, okay, this is who we are, because you can find yourself out there a lot, just doing things and not really knowing why you're doing them. So for us, we finally had that like aha moment of clarity. So that one probably took the longest for us, but yeah, unity is definitely a difficult step, or can be, especially if you have a bigger team. For us, it was just him and I. So it wasn't as hard, but yeah, if you've got a team of 40 and you're just now kind of discovering this, oh yeah, getting everybody on the same page, that might be the most difficult step.
Yeah. I think clarity was difficult for me too, you know, and us, because like I was saying, you know, I was doing stuff that I probably shouldn't have been doing, trying to find my way in the world.
Yes.
But yeah, I think like with the unity stuff, like how do you then like go about building this plan, you know, like is it every time there's communication, you're building this into the team that they should be running this kind of filter or asking themselves a couple of questions before they send out an email or make a phone call, you know, how do you think you should execute that?
Yeah. So, I think kind of going back to the clarity step, we are still kind of experiencing clarity, every day. And so every time we do, we kind of have to reunify. So unity, I don't think it's like a one-time thing. I think it's like an ongoing, you got to rally the troops around the newest discovery of clarity. For us, what we do is we take every Thursday night. And this is something I preach to every business we work with. And I think it's just super important no matter what you're working on. But, we take every Thursday night, and from 7:30 until midnight, we stay at our office and do nothing but work on our business. As agency owners, we find ourselves doing a lot of client work, from the 8 to 5. So we need time to actually sit down and self-evaluate. And so a lot of this self-discovery and this CUE method we do is after hours on Thursday nights. Like we have a planned out scheduled time for us to just have a unity session, is essentially what it boils down to.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I'm coming around more to the idea of the, like a weekly calls or something with the team.
Yes.
Are absolutely important.
Yes.
Yeah, because we've not done that for a long time. We got to a point where a lot of things were, we just didn't talk to the team enough in person, and things do start kind of slipping.
Yeah. Yes.
So
it's a constant unity. Yes.
Yeah, cool. Because we're actually a remote team, right? And most of it, based on like, you know, just talking in Slack, right?
Sure.
And that was working for a long time, but I'm actually starting to realize that people don't, like, they like to get an idea of what the company's doing and what other business units are doing and stuff. So,
yes.
So yeah, that weekly call I think is a great, great idea, or weekly sort of get together in some form.
Yes. Yeah, I can say when we started doing it, when we started having those little Thursday night sessions, whatever it have, you know, might have been about. Sometimes it's about our brand. Sometimes it's about our operations. We find that we can use this CUE method outside of more than just getting clarity on the brand. But since we've been doing that method and doing that stuff on Thursday nights, we've like tripled our growth just within a few months when we started doing that. It was like this insane rapid growth because we were able to get a bird's eye view of who we were, and we had that clarity, and we just got on the same page. And so there was like, it eliminated tension, and it just, we finally understood, okay, we're showing up to do this. We serve this purpose. This is why we do the things we do. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's
awesome. So yeah. So, okay. Then step three,
the execution. Yes. E for execution. Now this,
I thought so. You said elimination before and I was I'm like on a totally different page, but no.
Execution. Yes. Yeah. Well, so it depends on what context you're doing. It can be elimination or it can be execution. So, you know, the talking points I put up here, I did execution, but, once you've got clarity and you have unity, you've got to execute on that, right? Like, okay, you see the goal. Now you're all on the same page about the goal. Now actually go out and do the steps to reach the goal. And so that's essentially what execution means in that standpoint, is actually going out and doing the work. E for elimination, because like I said, you can kind of swap that out. It's, you have the clarity, then you have the unity, and then you eliminate everything else that isn't what you want to be doing. And so those are kind of, it's like two versions of Q.
Well, you can execute on the elimination of things.
Yeah, exactly. You can. Yeah, that you definitely can. It's because once you have that clarity, you might find yourself doing 12 things and only two of them count. So quit doing the other 10.
Yeah.
So eliminate them and execute on the two that matter the most.
Nice. So, and I guess like something we spoke about offline before, like you had 12 brand archetypes, and I think like, is the point of those to really help someone sort of get started and see where they fit in the world?
Yeah. So the 12 brand archetypes, are huge for us. Like once we kind of discovered them, cause you know, I talk like I know all this stuff for a long time, but you know, we're out here learning just like everybody else. And
yeah. I mean, and that's everyone all the time. Anyone that pretends to be like an expert is generally like,
yes. If anyone listening to this podcast, I want them to know I'm not an expert on this stuff. I just happen to do it a little bit more often than some people. But for us, we discovered the brand archetypes, probably like four months ago, and we immediately started putting them to use. That was like probably one of the biggest things that happened to us for our brand. But essentially, it's 12 different things that any one brand could be. Like you fall into these different archetypes or categories. And so I can list them off real quickly if you want me to go ahead and do that. But
I think we should briefly touch on each one just to give people an idea of what kind of stuff we're talking about here, because it will help. We don't want to go too far in, otherwise we'll be here forever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'll give just like the quick bird's eye view of them. So like the 12 brand archetypes, you've got the innocent. So their goal is to be happy. Their traits are, they always strive to be doing the right thing. They're pure. They're just fresh. You know, the drawback of the innocent is they could be perceived as kind of naive or boring. Companies that fit into the innocent brand, though, is like Dove Soap or Coca-Cola. There's Coca-Cola again. Then you've got the next brand archetype is the regular guy or gal. This one can also be called the guy or gal next door, or just the everyman. So, their goal is to belong or connect with others. Their traits are down to earth and supportive, faithful. They're just like that reliable neighbor next door, you know, that you can always count on. And so examples, companies in that field are like Home Depot or eBay. You can just kind of always count on them to be there. You've got the hero. That would be the next archetype. So their goal is to help improve the world. Their traits are they're courageous and they're bold, honorable. examples of those would be like Nike or BMW, Duracell. Like Duracell, you know, they do those commercials with the firefighters, and they talk about how their batteries, you know, power heroes. And so that's kind of how they integrate and execute on their brand. Then there's the outlaw. So this is like the rebellious type. They like to break the rules or go against the status quo. This one can also be called the rebel or the maverick. Companies that fall under that are like Harley Davidson.
Yes.
You know, you got that weekend warrior, kind of just like maybe they're suit and tie during the week, but on the weekend they like to be out, you know, going against the status quo and having a fun time. So that's like an outlaw brand.
Yep.
And you've got the explorer. So they find fulfillment through discovery and new experiences. Brands that fall into that would be like Jeep or Red Bull. They're always pushing, you know, for new things, new experiences. It's a fun adventure. We kind of have a little bit of a touch of the explorer in our brand, because you can have, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth, but you can have a primary and then you have a second and a third archetype. So our secondary is kind of that explorer vibe.
Nice.
Then you've got the creator. So their goals are to create something with meaning and enduring value. The example companies, and that would be like Lego or Crayola. You know, they like to invoke that feeling of creativity. And so
I feel like a lot of design shops would be in.
Yes. That. Yes. Yeah. I feel like a lot of agencies, we kind of thought at first when we saw this might be, something that we fell under, but, and we kind of have that maybe on the fringe, but there's definitely some other archetypes that, kind of outshine that when it comes to us. Mm. But yeah, I feel like a lot of creative agencies are going to fall under that creator brand.
Yeah.
Then you've got the ruler or royalty. They like to control and create order out of the chaos. Examples are like Microsoft or Mercedes-Benz. They're just kind of luxurious. They've got that, just like that next level style and feel. And so, yeah, like just really fancy brands would fall under that.
And just quickly, I'm hoping that like as we go through these, listeners can sort of think, oh yeah, like I can see myself being one of these, right? And we'll obviously link the up something in the show notes here so you can go through these in your own time. I'm just doing a little overview here. So yeah, just think about which one of these your business might fall into.
Yeah. Yes, please do. Yeah, when I'm saying these, just that's what happened when we actually went to a seminar where someone was talking about these. And so when she was going through each slide, we were like, oh, that could be us. And then,
yeah, totally.
Like, but that could be us too. So after we did a little research, we kind of came to, you know, what is us. But, but yeah, then there's the magician. So their goals are to make dreams come true and create something special. Example brands would be Disney, you know, Disney World. They invoke that feeling of just magic and wonder. The Wizard of Oz or Apple. So that Apple likes to have that feeling of just things happen. You get our phones and they just work, or at least that's what they try to they try to do. And then you've got the lover brand, or it can also be called the soulmate. I've seen it called the soulmate, things like that. But the lover brand, the goal is to create intimacy, inspire love. Example brands would be like Godiva chocolate or Victoria's Secret. Kind of cut and dry there. The caregiver. So that's another one, to care for and protect others. Examples there would be like Campbell's Soup or Johnson & Johnson, Heinz, that kind of thing. So that you're there and people around you know that your business cares about them. And like, you're there to provide value and care for them. That's what that is. Mm. And then the one that we at Wonder Tree are, this is our primary, the jester. And I feel like James, this might be you too with the Christmas suit. But the goal is to bring joy to the world. You know, traits are like fun, they have a sense of humor, everything's real lighthearted and kind of mischievous. Examples would be like the Motley Fool or Ben and Jerry's. Geico would fall into that one with their little gecko or their crazy commercials that are just funny and off the wall. So that's kind of what we found we were at. We thought we were the explorer, and then after some research, we discovered, well, no, naturally, my personality and Matt's personality are just be fun and have fun. And we found ourselves the way we communicated to people was always real lighthearted and fun. Every time we had somebody in the office, we were joking, and that's what people loved about us, is that we were the fun thing they got to do in their day. So that's how we kind of came to that. And then the last one of the 12 is the sage. So their goal is to help the world gain wisdom and insight. And this one could also be digital marketing agencies as well. Marketing examples include like PBS or Google, Philips, the lights and the the TVs and stuff. That would be one. Their traits are knowledgeable and trusted source of information with wisdom and intelligence. They're thoughtful, analytical. They're a mentor, a guru, an advisor. So they're just pretty much the wise guy on the block. Like they're the one you go and talk to when you need answers. So yeah,
it's funny as you go through these, I'm sort of thinking about people in our Facebook group and other agencies mm-hmm. that I know that definitely fit into all these different brackets.
Yes.
And that's all 12, right? We've done 12.
Yeah, that's all 12.
Yeah, cool. And the other thing that was I really noticed in there is like personality profiling. Like a lot of these different archetypes have elements in there for, I don't know if you've ever done like a personality test like DISC or what's that one everyone does, Myers-Briggs. Those kind of things have different types of people. And I can see how each of these personality types is going to appeal to a certain kind of client as well.
Yes.
So that is like, there's a lot of benefit here. I see like, it's a way to sort of filter when you're doing communication or you're writing copy, like whenever you're writing an email, these are all the kind you can have this stuff as like a filter on, is this living up to our brand? And then also a filter for your clients. Like, is this going to be the right client for us? Do they fit in with how we operate? And I was also thinking, because I used to have this, I just realized they're gone. I don't know where they are, but I used to have a lot of stuff in front of me, like on the wall, like pictures to indicate our values and that kind of thing. So this is the kind of thing you could stick on the wall and kind of have as a reminder that this is, you know, everything you do should be running through this filter.
Yes, absolutely. And to touch on your point about, you know, using it as a filter for your clients, once we discovered, you know, what archetype we were, we immediately had a moment of just insane clarity. And we just went out and we started creating social media posts or creating blog posts, writing emails. Everything instantly became easier as soon as we realized this is who we are and this is all we need to be. This is our clients like us because we're this. And these are the type of clients that we attract because we're like this. And we don't need to try to fight for every single type of client out there, because that's not us. And if we're not being us, we're, you know, doing bad work or wasting money, etc. So yes, this is a filter for that.
Yeah, I love it. I'm like, my brain's kind of running now. So I'm like, where do we fit in? I'm going to have to go back.
I like to do that. I like to get people thinking about this. This is a cool thing to get to do. So.
Sure, man. This has been awesome. So, I mean, do you think that's enough to leave people with? Is there anything else you'd like to cover?
I think one last thing that we kind of mentioned a little bit, but I'd like to just expound upon just slightly more would be brand guidelines. So is something that the big boys have, the Apples and the Coca-Colas and all those guys that have the million dollar budgets have, that a majority of small businesses don't have, but it actually doesn't take that much money. You know, it either takes time or money, but it can easily take time. It's not something you have to be a big expert on. Once you've figured out, you've had your moment of clarity, unity, and your elimination, and you've executed on things, and then you figured out what archetype you fit in, go out and make yourself a guideline, you know, a style guide that includes your logo and how it should be used, so that whenever you're doing promotional stuff and you have other businesses you're working with, you can send them this style guide, so that they know how to use your logo and they know what your voice is. Essentially, take your brand and put it into words and images. That's, you know, a guideline. Our brand guideline doc is, I think, around 12 pages. And we have everything from how to use our logo to the different types of fonts that we use, because that's important too. Like, we use the same type of font across our website and blog and all that fun stuff. Like, we found our fonts and we run with those and only those. We have our art direction as far as the types of blog headers or social media posts that we use. They all have the, kind of that same feeling. That's how we're able to kind of achieve a cool vibe on Instagram.
Nice.
But yeah, so we have all of that in a guideline. And it's taken us time. Like, we'll always continue to add to it as we learn who we are and better how we want to communicate things. So it's an ever-expanding document. If you're doing it right, it should always be growing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be very helpful to give to new staff members as they come on as well. Like, if you hire someone to be doing all your graphics, then they can look at that and they know what they need to be doing. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, for instance, we are about to unveil a new kind of proprietary system that we're running, and it'll be out hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But we just finished doing a commercial for it, and some buddies of ours that own a video production company, they're the ones that did it. But as good as friends as we are with them, they still didn't know everything about our business. And so we sent them over our brand guideline and said, okay, take this and run with it. And we pretty much let them come up with the commercial, with the script, and with everything, because they saw the guideline and they were able to take from it and use that as their compass. And then when they were finished, they just sent it to us for approval. And it was very, very awesome. Like, there was like almost no changes that we needed to make, because we were able to pass those guidelines along, and they knew exactly what kind of feeling they should be invoking in the commercial with the script and the language and the verbiage of the script. And
That'd be so handy. Like, I feel like every time we have to get something done, you go through this big briefing process and stuff, and like, that would just make it so much easier.
Oh yes. Yeah. It's definitely, it's taken us probably several hours over the course of months and months of putting it together, but it's worth doing. And like I said, it's an ever-growing document, but going back to the CUE, the Unity step is much easier when you have something like that in place, because you can always look back to it and get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, I think we should wrap up there, because there's so much to process, I guess, there.
Yes,
and I think that the best, I guess, next step for you, if you're listening to this, is to probably jump over to the show notes at agencyhighway.com and grab the click on the link to go to the 12 brand archetypes and kind of work out where you sit. I think that's probably the best place to start. What do you think, Riker?
Yeah, I definitely would say start there and then put it in your brand guidelines.
Is there anywhere else you'd like to send people? So something maybe just find out about you a bit more?
Sure. They can go to, we're always blogging about this stuff. So you can go to levelup.wondertree.com and check out our blog. We've written many a posts on branding. So you can definitely give that a look.
And the spelling of Wonder Tree, we probably should get that across, because I know
it's not. Like I said, it's a funky name, but it's Wonder Tree. It's WUNDERTRE.com.
So that's Wonder with a U and Tree with one E.
Yes. Just because, we can be jester like that. So.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Riker, thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you for having me, James. I really enjoyed this.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If so, please head over to iTunes and leave a review, or share it with someone you think might get something out of it. Thanks for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.